How's everybody doing? Good deal. Well, thank you all so much for being here. I got my little quick change going on. Take that, Beyonce. Thank you all for being here. My name is Andy Driscoll. I'm the lead pastor here at Life Point Church, and we're so excited that you're here with us today to worship, to celebrate these lives that were given to Christ in baptism, and just our church family and being a part of that and hanging out with us here today. If this is your first time, again, thank you all for being here. We're excited to have you. Hope that God speaks and that you have a good time and are able to connect and walk away closer to God and learning and growing. But today we're going to start a two-week series called The Puzzle. After this two-week series, we're going to go into a series that's going to lead us up to Easter that I'm pretty excited about. But for the next 2 weeks, we're going to focus on the puzzle, thus my table up here with my puzzle pieces. So we'll get to that here in a second. But in this series, we're going to talk about things that basically that in life, sometimes things aren't always what they seem, right? Like, I mean, you embrace or you encounter something and you see something and it's maybe not exactly what you originally thought or what that person originally thought. For instance, when I first started working at Uspiritus, it was Brookline at the time, the place that I work, I was fresh out of college, no beard, had long hair, and, you know, looked like I was about 12. So I was there and it was Christmas time, and we always have a lot of volunteers come at Christmas time, and we were having this Christmas party with all the kids, and I'm, you know, doing my job, I'm working, I'm watching the kids, I'm helping clean up, I'm doing all this. And one of the volunteers, it's a long-term volunteer, she still volunteers, you know, she's been volunteering before that, came up to me and she was like, "It is just so sweet that you are really working to help your staff and to really help, and how long have you been a resident here?" And I'm like, I feel bad. Like, I didn't want to, like, embarrass her because there's other people around. And I just kind of said thank you and walked away. And then I'm like, okay, oh, that's cool. I'll never see her again. Then, like, the next week, she's, like, in my cottage, like, you know, like, helping out and, like, bringing gifts and things. So I'm like, all right, I've got to face this. I can't just let this keep going that she thinks I'm, you know, because if I get keys, she might freak out. So I told her. But, you know, it's an example of things aren't always what they seem. Right? Sometimes we mistake things or we're confused about things. So, like I said, it's not always what it seems. And life can really be like a puzzle sometimes. Right? I mean, we're kind of looking at this thing and we don't really know what to do next. Or we look at this piece and it's confusing. And we don't really know what's going on, and it's stressful. So when you think about working a puzzle, which we have over here, there's all kinds of different ways you can go about working the puzzle. So when I laid this out here this morning, my man Sean helped me with this because he loves puzzles. So I just asked him, I'm like, "How do you start a puzzle?" And he's like, "The borders, right?" I'm like, "Well, of course." So he started working. He's got this nice border knocked out like super quick. Man's like a puzzle machine. But some of us do that. We start with the border, right? How many of you all, when you're doing a puzzle, you start with the border, right? Look at all you spiritual people. That's right. That's how you're supposed to do a puzzle. Other people, you can also take and, like, sort out the colors depending on, you know, what puzzle you're doing. So if you have a puzzle that has, like, you know, grass and then a blue sky and then some, like, purple flowers, well, you can take all the greens, put them together, all the blues, put them together, because, you know, that's the sky, and your purples for your flowers. And you can sort. You're kind of a sorter. How many of you all do that? Anybody in here? A couple people. Okay. Now, Sean, you told me you did borders. Now you're telling me you're a sorter. I'm so confused. See, life can be puzzling sometimes. But there's all kinds of different ways to do a puzzle. How many of you would say, puzzle, I ain't wasting my time with the puzzle. I'm like, I'm going to go watch the game or play some Xbox or something like that. Like, forget puzzles. How many puzzle haters we got in there? A couple people. One standing up, he's like, oh, yeah, forget some puzzles. But there's all different ways to work it. But the thing is that we always find this one piece, right? Like, we're working a puzzle, and we get this one piece here, okay? And it's like, this piece should, like, fit perfectly, like, right here. But it doesn't. And we start looking around for other pieces, but it's like, this is the only piece that'll fit there. It matches up, but it doesn't fit. So we're, like, kind of flipping it around, and we're like, what company is this? They misprinted this. I'm going to get my money back. You know, we're trying to figure it out. And then we get frustrated, and we kind of line it up the way we think it's supposed to be, and then we're like, right? And we're like, we're trying to make it fit. Don't act like you don't do that. but it's because it's frustrating. We think it's supposed to go this way, but it doesn't. And we're confused. But here's the thing. When we're working a puzzle, we need this thing, right? The box. Or the box top. It's our guide, right? It's our frame of reference. This is the end result. Yes, it's Star Wars. That's right. So, but we need this. Because we can look at this, and then we can look at what we're doing, and we can match up the border. Or if we're sorting, we can sort that out. But this is our roadmap for completing this puzzle. To getting this thing to where it is. To finding the end result. We know what we're shooting for. We know what we're going for. But in life, we don't have this, do we? We don't know what the end result is for our life. God does. He has this, but we don't. And it can be frustrating at times. It can be stressful and confusing, and it leaves us puzzled, confused. We don't know what's going on. So as we dive into this, I want us to check out some scripture. So the first thing I want us to look at is 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 12. And it reads, "Now," notice the "now," "we see things imperfectly, like puzzling reflections in a mirror. But then," so we have a now and we have a then, "but then we will see everything with perfect clarity. All that I know now is partial and incomplete, but then I will know everything completely, just as God now knows me completely." See, we have the now, like our present reality, the current situation that we're sitting in. That's our now. It can be puzzling. But then there's a then, right? That's clarity. That's clear to where we understand things and we know what's going on. And I don't know what this represents for you. It could represent a lot of different things, right? Maybe this piece represents the one that just doesn't seem to fit right. And you just don't understand where this fits into play. Like, what is the purpose of this piece? This could be maybe a lost job, right? Like, you had this job, and this job was the one. I mean, it was the one. It was going to take you to the top. I mean, you were going to provide for your family. You made a move or whatever it may be. But this was going to be the job. And then it fell through. And you're like, what do I do with this? What do I do with this puzzle piece? Or maybe this piece represents that, you know, you growing old, right? And being able to see your grandkids or being able to travel like you always wanted to. But then the doctor tells you that there's maybe some other plans and that you have some major illness or you have cancer and you're trying to figure out, like, I have this beautiful puzzle that started and this picture that's my life. It's going to be beautiful. But this one piece has to be a misprint. Right, this can't be right. This can't fit into what I've got going on. Or maybe it's a marriage and you know, you're looking at this piece and you know, you had this idea of what this piece was going to be and it's just spiraling out of control. Right? Or maybe it's already just imploded. And you're like, where does this fit? Like, what's going on? And when we find these puzzle pieces that can be extremely confusing and in the now that we're just lost, it can create some serious tension in our lives. I mean, we get this tension that overwhelms us because we don't really know what to do with the now. And we want to know the then, right? We want to get to that quickly. But it doesn't always work that way. So what I want us to look at is how do we live in the now while trusting God for the then? That's what I want us to talk about. That's what I want us to look at and kind of wrestle with. How do we live in the now, even when the puzzle pieces don't fit, whatever you're going through doesn't fit, doesn't seem to fit, you don't want it to fit, but how do we trust God for the then? And to begin to answer that question, to kind of unpack this, I want us to look at Matthew chapter 11, and we're going to stay here for a little bit, and we're going to check out, starting in verse 2, and it says this, when John was in prison, and before we go any further, I want to kind of take a quick second and give you some context to this, so we'll get back to that. But basically, this is John. John's in prison. This is John the Baptist we're talking about, okay? This is the guy that fulfilled the Old Testament prophecy that says, I'm going to send one to prepare the way for the Lord, like a voice crying out in the wilderness. This is John the Baptist who fulfilled that prophecy, okay? This is John the Baptist, whose mother was Elizabeth, and she was cousins with Mary, Jesus' mother. And they were both pregnant at the same time, and it said that when they got together, the Bible says that John, inside the womb, heard Mary's voice and leaped because he knew the Savior was there. He knew the Savior was present. I mean, that's incredible. And we read that in Scripture. So that's the John we're talking about. We're talking about John the Baptist, who was baptizing people in the Jordan River, and he saw Jesus coming, and he said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." And then he actually baptized Jesus. And when he came up, it says, the Bible says that the clouds parted and then a dove descended on Jesus. And there was a voice saying, "This is my son, who I am well pleased." So to say that John knew Jesus and knew who Jesus really was is an understatement, right? When we read those things, we know that he understands. He gets it. He sees it. He believes it. So let's jump back into verse 2. It says, "When John, who was in prison, heard about the deeds of the Messiah, he sent his disciples to ask him, 'Are you the one who is to come, or should we be expecting someone else?'" See, that's confusing to me, right? Because of everything we just talked about, that John knew all these things about Jesus. He experienced, he saw it, he baptized him. But now, when he's in his time of need, he's in prison, he's doubting. He's like, he's sending his people, he's like, "Go ask Jesus if he is really it. Is he who he says he is? Is he the one, or should we be waiting on someone else? Because I'm in prison," right? And we kind of look at that, but the reality is John's that way because of one of these, right? It's a puzzle piece. It's a puzzle piece that doesn't seem to fit. I mean, he's been serving Jesus, and he's been, you know, he fulfilled that prophecy. I mean, he's leading the way for Christ. But now he's in prison. He's confused. He's frustrated. He's doubting. He doesn't know what's going on. But, you know, we do the same thing. We do the exact same thing that John does. If we were honest, we would all at some point in time say, you know what, we've questioned and doubted God. We've hit that puzzle piece that was just confusing. It didn't seem to fit. And we're hammering, trying to hammer it in the picture, figuring out what's going on, and it doesn't fit. And we're like, "God, where are you with this? I don't get it." And we do that. And that's what John was saying. He's saying, "Jesus, are you the one? Are you really the Messiah? Are you really it?" Because, man, I don't know what's going on here, but man, I was out in the wilderness with nothing. I mean, my clothes were camel hair, and I was eating wild locusts and honey, man. I was grinding with nothing. So I follow, and I'm following you, and I'm leading the way for you. So, but this is what I get? I'm in prison? Like, it doesn't make sense. See, John was, he was sitting in the now. And he wasn't thinking about the then. He was sitting in the now. So John's people go to Jesus, right? And they ask him, they deliver the message, say, "Hey, are you the one?" And this is how Jesus responds, starting in verse 4. Jesus responds, "Go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight. The lame walk. Those who have leprosy are cleansed. The deaf hear. The dead are raised. And the good news is proclaimed to the poor." Now, those are the good things, right? I mean, that's where we like to high five and say, "Yeah, Jesus. Nice response for one. Beautiful things that we're doing. Miracles here, miracles there." I mean, that's what we love. I mean, that's like when we're working this puzzle, man, and we open up the box and we dump it out and we look down and there's like four pieces already connected because they did a poor job cutting it. We're like, "Oh, yeah." And then we touch this one and, man, oh, that's right there. Ooh, this right there. And it's just everything. We're like a puzzle wizard over here. I mean, it's just going like this. We love that part. When everything's going good, we love that. But then Jesus goes on to say, he's like, "Hey, go back and tell them all these incredible things." But then he says, "Oh, but also, blessed is anyone who doesn't stumble on account of me." Blessed is anyone who doesn't stumble on account of me. You know, that the lame walking, you know, and the blind seeing, that's the feel-good part, right? but blessed is anyone who doesn't stumble in account of me. And you see what Jesus is saying to John, he's like, hey, John, you know what? I am the Messiah when the blind see. I am the Messiah when the lame walk and when the dead is raised. I am the Messiah in all those moments when the deaf hear. I am the Messiah. He says, but John, I'm also the Messiah when you stay in prison and when you don't get out. See, because John never made it out. He died in prison. He died there. He never made it out of prison. And man, that's tough. And he's saying that, John, there's a lot of good stuff. There's a lot of beautiful things in life. And yes, I'm this Messiah, but my sovereignty doesn't depend on your circumstance, because God is God. It doesn't depend on your circumstance, man, and that's tough for us to swallow sometimes. It's tough for us to grasp and understand. He's like, here's the deal, John. I know you've got some now that's tough, that you don't understand, that's not good, but John, you've got to trust me. A then is coming. Man, and it's going to be beautiful. It's going to be perfect. You just got to believe me. You just got to trust me. There's a purpose. There's a reason for that puzzle piece. God's sovereignty doesn't depend on our circumstance. So again, how do we grasp this? How do we do this? How do we navigate life in the now that's confusing to trust God for the then? And before we dive even further into that, I kind of want to speak to this because I think it's heavy, and it's that piece that we've got to throw out there. And it's that a lot of Christians battle with this. We struggle with this. We get tripped up and sidelined and put off to the side because of this very thing. Because when life hits and these puzzle pieces that don't make any sense appear, man, we begin to question God, just like John did. We do. We all do. And it's tough, and it's a struggle. And we're like, man, when I gave my life to you, when I said, I'm giving you everything, man, I didn't think it was going to continue this. I didn't think it was going to be like this. I thought things were going to be, you know, like the t-shirts, you know, sunshine, rainbows, little turtles, you know, all those kind of t-shirts. But it's not. Life happens. You know, we still get hit in the face with life, and I'm so confused because I didn't think this was going to happen. So then we start doubting God. And that's when our spiritual enemy, man, he's licking his chops. He's ready to go because he knows right then and there, the father of all lies comes to steal, kill, and to destroy. It's what he does. That's his business. And what he does is he creeps up to you, starts whispering in your ear a little bit like, hey, you know, I thought you were a super Christian. I thought you really, really loved God. But here you are doubting. Just doubting. You know what? When you doubt, God doesn't want nothing to do with you. Doesn't want nothing to do with you. And you know what? If you actually had real faith, this whole circumstance probably wouldn't even have happened. And it's lies, man. It is 100% straight lies. See, we see Jesus responds to John, and then after his people were leaving to go back to John, his disciples left, Jesus starts speaking to a crowd of people. And in Matthew 11, staying in there, and going into verse 11, we see something that can be really life-changing for us if we struggle with that very thing. I know I struggle with the doubt. I struggle with when I start to doubt, then I feel like man, I'm not who I need to be, and my relationship with God is tanking, and these types of things, because the enemy, Satan, he gets in my ear, and he starts feeding me lies after lies after lies. And see, John was in this place, even sent people to Jesus to question him. And this is, after they left, this is what Jesus said to a group of people. He said, truly I tell you, among those born of women, there is not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist. I mean, think about this. This guy just sent his people to Jesus to say, hey, are you really it? I'm in prison. Are you the one? Or should I just start looking for somebody else that can help me through this circumstance? In the midst of his doubt, Jesus said, there's none better than John the Baptist. He was loving him through his doubt. He was loving him and affirming him through his doubt, through wrestling with this puzzle piece, through the confusion, through the frustration, through the anger. He was loving him through that. He was there for him. One thing I want you to understand and grasp is that God is big enough for your questioning. He's big enough for your questions. He can handle it. When you're mad and you're shaking your fist, he can handle it. He's big enough for your little tantrums that you might throw when you're frustrated. He's big enough for that. And when you're beating on that table, trying to get that peace into place, and frustration and anger and confusion, he's big enough for that. He's going to love you through that. Man, I'll never forget. For as long as I live, I'll never forget this. My senior year of high school, my junior year, I blew out my knee playing football, tore it to pieces, had surgery. And the next year, I was excited to get back in there. And the second game of the season, I broke my leg right below my knee, completely through. My leg was going like all kinds of different ways. I was confused. It was a piece, man, because I thought I was going to get past that. Sports was my life, and that's all I was going looking towards. And I could get past that. But here I am laying on my back, my leg going all kinds of different ways. And I'm like, why? Angry, in pain, probably in a little shock, confusion. And I'm saying, why? And I literally had one of my coaches, one of my Bible teachers at that school, standing over top of me with my leg going all kinds of different ways. If I hadn't had a knee brace on for my ACL repair the year before, I would have lost my leg. It was that bad. And he said, son, don't question God. Right in that moment, I wanted to take my little leg that was all flopping and hit him with it. I mean, who says that? God is big enough for us to wrestle with those things, to wrestle through that. And we'll come out in the end understanding God, understanding him just a little bit better. Last week I said it's like a mystery chasing after God. It's a beautiful mystery, and we have to wrestle with those things, and we have to seek, and we have to find. Even after we accept Christ, we still move forward with that. So finally, getting back to answering the question, how do we live in the now, all while trusting God for the then? And if you're taking notes, I want you to capture this, and I want you to grasp this. It is a very simple theory, but incredibly, incredibly complicated to live by. I'll just be honest. And it's this. In the doubts of today, we will trust in his tomorrows. Simple in theory, difficult in practice, because life is life, and it hits us in the face, and it takes our legs out from under us, and it's tough. But see, we have to claim this. In the doubts of today, in the confusion, in these puzzle pieces, we have to be able to trust in his tomorrows. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11 reminds us of this and encourages us in this and helps us to be a little less difficult if we claim this promise in scripture that we see. And it says, for I know the plans I have for you. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. We have to trust in his tomorrows. Man, that's some good news right there. That's good news. That God has that plan for us. And he has a plan to prosper us and to love us and to be there for us. Because, man, life can be difficult. It can be full of these pieces that some of them are perfect. And, bam, like I said, a couple of them are stuck together and you're just rolling with it. But then you get stuck and it doesn't make sense. And you think there's got to be some type of mistake. But we've got to trust God for the then. We have to trust in his tomorrows, even when we're doubting. But we struggle with that. Craig Rochelle, who's a famous Christian author and pastor, he's an incredible author, and he once said this. He said, our faith is in God and not in the outcomes we want. I want you to let that sink in, because that's serious business right there. If we've really accepted Christ and have that connected relationship with him, our faith is in him, not him working out our life exactly the way we plan it, the way we want it. Because again, his sovereignty is not dependent upon our circumstance. So for example, and it's a heavy example, but say you go to the doctor and you get that terrible news that nobody wants, that that, you know what, you've got cancer. And it's terminal, it's bad. And they're saying you've only got a few months to live. You're devastated. That's like a ton of pieces, right? I mean, that's confusion, it's frustration, it's hurt, it's anger, it's I'm lost, I don't know what to do. And then when you're driving home, God just gives you this clarity, right? Like it's almost like he audibly spoke to you that says, it's gonna be okay. And then man, we're like, we immediately jump to, awesome, he's gonna heal me. Right? God's gonna heal me. I don't care what the doctors say. I don't care what they do. God has spoke to me and he said it's gonna be okay. So the only way for it to be okay is for him to heal me. But that's not necessarily the truth. Because if you think about it, he said, it's going to be okay. And say, I'm going to heal you. And we're like, no, the only way for this situation, for this piece to be okay and to fit in this picture, the only way is if you heal me. God says, no, not necessarily. And that's tough, the stomach. That's difficult. That's when we really, in our doubts, we have to embrace the fact and trust in God's tomorrow. And maybe he will heal you in those situations. Seen it? Heard about it? He's powerful. He can do that. But that's not necessarily always the case. And that doesn't mean that it's a puzzle piece that doesn't fit. It means it just fits in a different way than what you intended and what you planned. And he's got a beautiful plan. And that's tough. And that's tough. But God's sovereignty, again, doesn't depend on our circumstances. Not where we find ourselves. So in the doubts of today, and in that puzzle pieces, in the confusion, we're going to trust him. In fact, the Bible again says that he has a plan for all of us. It's a beautiful plan, but it's not necessarily always the plan that we have in our minds and that we think the way God should operate. The Bible also says that his ways are just higher than ours. His understanding is higher than ours and better than ours. See, God is going to take those things, and he's going to take all these puzzle pieces. They're all scattered here on this table, and we got the frame, the border built right here, like every good puzzle builder and spiritual Christian would do. Just kidding. But he's got this border and all these pieces, and he's going to take those, and some of them are going to fit perfect. It's going to be great, and some of them are going to be a challenge. Some of them you're going to want to throw out. Some of them you're going to sit off to the side, and you don't want to deal with it because they're tough. They're confusing. But again, in our doubts, we're going to choose to trust in God's tomorrows. And we're going to do that because we read in Scripture that now, in the now, we see things imperfectly. Like puzzling reflections in a mirror. But then we will see everything with perfect clarity. We have to trust God in our doubts for the then. And it's not easy. I'm not going to sit up here and say that it's going to be easy. I'm not saying that this concept is you know, a feel-good concept to grasp, but it's something that can radically transform our lives if we can embrace this and begin to trust God with the puzzle, right? Trusting him for the then. And we might know the then pretty quickly, or it could be years, or we may not ever know the then while we're still here, but there is a then, and there's a purpose for your life. And there's a purpose for every piece of your life. Every confusing puzzle piece, there's a purpose. So how do we live in the now, trusting God for the then? The only way we can do that is that when we're in our doubts and when we're in our confusion and when we're frustrated, we're going to choose to trust in his tomorrows. Let's pray. God, we thank you, God, today, first off, for these beautiful children that were baptized, God, today, as they have given their life to you, and they made that public, and just to show that they are connected to you, that they have chosen to follow you and serve you. God, and we're so incredibly thankful for that. God, and we thank you for your word. We thank you for your truth. We thank you for the fact that while life happens all around us and to us, and it's muddy, and it's messy, and it's beautiful, and it's all these things combined, God, that we can trust in the fact that you have a plan. Even when we don't understand it, when it's confusing and we don't see where these pieces fit, God, that we can trust in you, that you're going to work all those things out. God, and that you are victorious now and in the future and in the end, God. God, and we thank you for that. As we continue in prayer, maybe you're here today and you've never accepted Christ. You've never stepped over that line of faith, accepting him as your Lord and Savior, believing that he died and rose again for you so that you could be forgiven and have eternal life connected with him. Maybe it's you've never done that because of all the different puzzle pieces in your life that have just been confusing. And you look at those pieces and you're like, God, if you're real, why am I experiencing this? Why am I going through this? And so because of that, you just reject and you just push them to the side. I'm telling you today that there's perfect clarity in the then. While we don't have this box with the picture on it of the puzzle, he does. He's saying, man, he wants to connect with you. He's calling to you. He wants you to be connected to him for all eternity, man, because he loves you. Despite what you may have heard, despite what other people have said, despite what other so-called Christians may have shown you, God loves you. He wants nothing more to be connected in a relationship with you. And if you feel God calling you today and you're ready to just to let down those walls, and just accept him as your Savior, giving your life to him. Even though the puzzle's still gonna be messy at times, you're gonna trust in him. You're gonna place your faith 100% in him and let him guide your path from this point forward. If that's you, just call out to him. It's not a prayer, it's just your heart. It's faith, it's belief. If that's you, just call out to him how he leads and say, God, I believe you are who you say you are. I believe you died on the cross and rose again for me so that I could be forgiven, so that I could be transformed and cleansed, so that I can be in a personal relationship with you. God, I confess that I have flaws and that I'm not perfect, but that I'm in desperate, desperate need of a Savior. God, thank you for saving me. It's in your name I pray, amen. With our heads still bowed, if that was your prayer today, man, I'm telling you, greatest decision you'll ever make in your life. I promise you that. Greatest decision in this very moment, he's beginning a work in you that will never stop. And if that's you today and you made that decision, we ask that you just mark that on your connection card just so that we can know how to connect with you and how to help you walk in those next steps in your new faith journey. Kind of walk point for you, kind of walk side by side. Like I said, at LifePoint, we're all about doing life together, and we want to do that. We want to walk point for you and with you. Or if you don't feel comfortable with that, you can come talk to me or one of the leadership staff, and we just want to celebrate with you, man. It's incredible. And then we can start talking about baptism and what those next steps are. But as we continue in prayer, maybe you're a Christ follower. Maybe you've already accepted Christ. Maybe you've been a Christ follower for a long time, man, and these puzzle pieces, I mean, are tripping you up big time. And you're just like this useless puzzle piece that you, because you keep pushing it aside and aside, and all of a sudden it's off the table. And the next thing you know, it's knocked up under the couch. And you're just sidelined, man. You're missing pieces. I'm telling you today, it's tough. I get it. It's tough. But we have a God that loves you, who said he's going to work out all things for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. That's a promise. And we can claim those promises. He didn't say life's going to be perfect. But he's going to work those things out. And again, sometimes the way it's worked out perfectly doesn't jive with how we want it to work out. Let's just be real. But we have to trust God. Trust in his tomorrow because it's perfect. Maybe that's you today. And maybe you need to really just seek and just give that to God and trust him with that. And it's not just a one-time thing you're going to say this morning and say, okay, I'm going to do that and it's going to be perfect. No, you're going to wrestle with this. But I challenge you to wrestle with the questioning. Wrestle with these tough pieces. Seek God for that and begin to trust and say, God, I trust you with this. I'm trusting for the then. I'm trusting for the then. Keep seeking him, and he's going to bring that peace. He's going to bring that clarity eventually. But if that's you, I challenge you today just to really seek God in that today. Begin to wrestle with that. Maybe you need to call out to him right now and just say, God, give me the strength give me the power to wrestle through these things and to trust you for the then, because the now, right now, I'm over it. It's tough. Give that to him today. God, we thank you again for your truth. We thank you for loving us. We thank you so much, God, for loving us. We thank you for loving us through our doubt, through our frustration, through our struggles, God. Thank you for loving us through that, not giving up on us. God, I pray for each person here, Lord, whether they need to accept you as Savior, God, and they have that missing piece in their life, God, that only you can fill, Lord. God, may you speak to them today. May they hear and respond, God. And those, God, that are just struggling with this piece, God, of these difficult puzzle pieces in their life that they just don't understand, and they're just torn down by, God, may you build them up. May they begin to trust you for the then. Trust in your tomorrows, God. And God, I do ask, Lord, that you would begin to bring clarity in their life, Lord. God, we love you and we thank you. In your name we pray. Amen.